Marcos, my oldest, his wife is getting ready to deliver a baby in a couple of months. Pastor Danny's daughter, Natalia, is currently in the birthing room giving birth to, or soon to give birth to, his grandson. So a couple of weeks ago, I had bought my son a crib for the baby, some other things, and I went to buy him a mattress for the crib. And shopping for a baby mattress isn't like I remember. Because you have parents like my son and his wife that do all kinds of consumer researches, and they look on the internet to find out which one's the best mattress, which one has the best support, which one prevents SIDS, which one is the best in their development of their bones. So you can't just go to Walmart and get a $30 mattress anymore. So we went and we found a mattress for them, and I went over to their house to deliver it one day, and they were excited and they said, come in, we want you to see the baby's room. And my son had painted some designs on the wall because I was fortunate enough in when he was young to teach him how to paint, because I had learned how to paint from Pastor Danny. So it was something that I was able to pass down to my own son, and he was able to paint and decorate his son's future room, right? So I'm looking at all this stuff, and they're showing me the clothes that they already have for him. They're showing me the tennis shoes, the Nikes that they already have, little Chucks that they already have for him, and all the things that they had acquired in preparation for the baby. So I can tell that they're going to have a baby because there's evidence in their house that they're preparing for the baby to come home. There is evidence in their lives, and they're putting money aside, and they're fixing the room, and they're buying things because they are anticipating a baby soon to be brought into the home that will occupy all those things that they have prepared for. There is evidence in their lives. We all, well, most of us, I'm not going to say all of us, but most of us know what it is when we talk about evidence, right? But most of us are hoping that they don't find any evidence. Now, I want us to think back to some of those times when we were in jail waiting to go to court. I know some of you got to think back further than others, but for some of you, it might have been last week or last month. But as you're sitting in the county jail, they have a 10-day rule. They have to formally file charges against you within 10 days or else you get to walk. But during that 10-day period, if they have enough evidence to take you to trial, then they formally charge you. One of the first jobs of your dump truck public defender is to gather what they call the discovery. And the discovery is a report that is put together by the district attorney stating all the evidence that they have against you to see if they can charge you and to what degree of the law they can charge you with that crime. So your lawyer's job is to get the discovery, to find out what evidence the district attorney has so that you can mount a defense against the district attorney. I see a lot of heads nodding because you know exactly what I'm talking about. But there has to be evidence to charge you formally with that crime. My question here this evening is, if we were to do a discovery of our personal lives, would there be enough evidence that would say that, yes, I am doing what God has called me to do? You see, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, in the second part of it, that faith is the evidence of things not seen. It means that there is a preparation in the here and now for what is to come without even seeing it. We know that God has called us. We know that God has a plan and God has a purpose in our life. But are we gathering evidence with our life today for what we hope that God is going to do in our future? You see, we all want a blessed and an abundant life. We want God's blessing to rain down upon our lives. We're tired of struggling. We're tired of living paycheck to paycheck. We're tired of always, you know, right when it looks like you're getting ahead with your bills and stuff, something happens and there you go back into debt. But is there evidence in your life now preparing you for that kind of life in the future? Because if we're not giving our tithe, and we're not giving our offering, if we're not giving our pledges and the things that we're asked and God places upon our heart now, how will we ever be prepared for what He has for us in our future? The Bible says that if we're faithful in the little things, God will make us masters over much. But is there evidence that we're being faithful on the little things? The ministry of Victory Outreach is an apostolic ministry. We believe and we preach and we teach and we believe with all our heart that God has called the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. We believe that God has chosen the treasures out of darkness. We believe that God is able to change and transform the life of a drug addict, an alcoholic, a gang member, a prostitute. But more than that, we believe that God is able to raise them up and use them to reach the hurting people of the world with a message of hope through Jesus Christ. And we believe that some of us are those people that are going to do it. But is there evidence in our lives today for what we are believing God for in the future? You see, as I was reminded today of what God has done in my life, I started thinking back to 1987, 1988, 1989, where Pastor Danny felt the call of God to go full-time ministry. Pastor Danny was working as a fireman, making a good income. He had a wife, four daughters, a mortgage payment on a house that he had in the South Valley. But when the call of God came upon his life, he stepped away from a career and moved into a calling. He stepped away from being dependent on the city of Albuquerque to being dependent on God. There was evidence in his life at that point that he had responded to the call of God, and he was making all the necessary changes and adjustments in his life so that he could fulfill the plan and the purpose that God had for his life. I remember many times when I was in the home that Pastor Danny, his wife, and his daughters would eat with the men that were in the home. And those of you that are in the home now, it was nothing like it is now. We ate beans and eggs for breakfast, and we ate beans and potatoes for dinner. There was no lunch. There was no, we're going to the car wash, pack a lunch. You ate in the morning if we had enough food, and you ate in the evening if we had enough food. But there were many times when Pastor Danny and his wife and his kids would be there, and they would be eating the same food that the men that were eating in the home were also, they were all together, and we were all eating out of the same pot. Driving his wife and four daughters to church in a small little Mitsubishi Datsun pickup just to get to church. And then one time he got blessed with this blue van that ran good for a couple of months. And then it was vapor locking all over the place in the summer. It was always dying. And the sliding door didn't slide. It just kind of like clunked open, and you had to like get two guys to close it back up. But there was evidence in their lives at that time that they were willing to make the sacrifice, that they were willing to pay the price, that they were willing to go without in order to fulfill the plan and the purpose that God had for their lives. Now, I know that we have a lot of men and women that aspire to go out and do a great work for God. But is there evidence in your life today that you are making preparations for the calling and the purpose that God has for your life? You see, because when you go out to pioneer, when you go out and you step out in faith, you can't run back to your job. You can't go and try to take a city when you're in debt. You can't drive two semi-trailers full of all your possessions to that new city and set up shop just like if you were living here in Albuquerque, because it requires sacrifice. There has to be evidence in your life now that you're downsizing, that you're getting rid of debt, that you're taking care of anything that might tie you down, so that when the time comes to go, you say, I'm ready. I can go right now. There's nothing holding me back here. Because too many times people go out to start churches, and when things start getting tough, instead of trusting and depending on God, they run back to their former job and they think that God needs a helping hand. You know, in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, we have a lot of examples of men and women that had evidence in their life that for what God was going to do in their future. The Bible gives us an example of Abraham, where God told him that he was going to become the father of many nations. So the Bible says that Abraham left his homeland. He gathered his family and he went to a land that he had never been to before. That was the evidence in his life that, God, I'm willing to leave everything that I know, everything that I'm comfortable with, everything that I've grown accustomed to, everything that I grew up with. I'm willing to let that go in pursuit of the plan and the purpose that you have for my life, because I want there to be evidence in my life that I'm believing for the impossible and the things that I can't see. It also mentions the life of Noah. God told Noah to build an ark. And he told him that it was going to rain, even though it had never rained before. Nobody had ever even seen rain. But the Bible says that Noah built the ark. So when the rain came and God's promise was fulfilled, there was evidence in his life that he was ready for everything that God told him was going to happen. There was evidence in his life. Imagine somebody going and interviewing Noah and saying, hey, Mr. Noah, we hear that you're a Christian. Is there any evidence to the fact that you believe in God for something impossible? And he just say, well, take a look at that ark. Does it look like I'm believing God or not? He made preparations because he believed that God was going to do something in his life. A little bit further on in Hebrews chapter 11, starting right around verse 24. It gives a little bit of a detailed story about another man that had evidence in his life that he was preparing for the calling that God had upon his life. And that was Moses. In verse 24, it says that when Moses became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the children of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. You see, the Bible says that when Moses became of age, and that's important, it's very significant, and I'll tell you why, because age in that portion of Scripture does not relate or talk about a number. When the Bible says that he became of age, it means that he came to a level of spiritual maturity. He came to a level of self-awareness. He came to a place in his life where he evaluated his life and he contemplated what was more important for him, the life that he had in Egypt or the promise that God had for him. He came to a level of understanding that there was more to living than just being a prince in Egypt. That there was more to life than just governing over people. He came to a place where he realized that God had something better that included the liberation of the children of Israel and leading almost 1 million people out of bondage and into a place that flowed with milk and honey. There was evidence in his life. The Bible says that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He made a conscious decision to leave Egypt, all the riches, all the power, all the influence that he had accumulated during the 40 years that he was there. He made a conscious decision and said, I am not going to be that person anymore. I am not going to be identified by being a prince of Egypt. I am not going to be the person that they trained me to be. I have a better purpose. I have a bigger plan, because God's going to use me to be a great deliverer. You see, there can't be evidence in our lives of wanting God's promise in our life if we're still doing the same things that we used to do when we were in Egypt. If we're still talking the same way that we used to talk in Egypt. If we're still going to the same places that we used to go when we were in Egypt. If we're still hanging out with the same people we used to hang out with when we were in Egypt, then there is no evidence in our lives. There has to be evidence that people see that there's something different about us. The other day, there's this new guy at work. It was funny, and I hope nobody gets offended. But there's a couple of new guys at work. They work in facilities, and one of them's an administrative assistant. A guy, still kind of tripped on that. But he's an administrative assistant, and the other guy works facilities, right? So one day they're hanging up a TV. So my boss, that's white. The facilities guy is white. The other guy that's helping them is white. And they're all putting up a TV. And I'm standing there looking at them. And I say, my, how the world has changed. Because now we got three white guys putting up a TV and a Mexican standing around and watching them. We've come a long way, baby. But this one guy, he'd been working there for about 2 months. And I ran into him one day. And he goes, hey, we've never formally met. He goes, my name is Josh. And I go, my name is Mark. He goes, you know, I heard that you were a believer. He goes, and it's really great for me to be able to work somewhere where there's other believers. And I say, well, great, you know, welcome aboard, whatever. And then I walked away and I started thinking, well, I never told him I was a Christian. I haven't talked to this guy. But he must have heard from the people at my work that he talked to when he was inquiring about who is that guy. They said, that's Mark, he's a Christian. Because there has to be evidence in my life at work where people identify me as a Christian instead of anything else. He said, I heard that you were a Christian. There must be evidence in a life for somebody to make that kind of statement. You see, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He didn't want to be associated with that anymore. He wasn't riding the fence. He wasn't compromising. He made a decision that I'm not going to be the person that the world tells me that I am. And you know, the world will tell us a lot of negative things about ourselves. They'll tell us stuff like, once you're a junkie, you're always going to be a junkie. The world will tell us that because we've messed up in the past, we're going to mess up again in the future. The world will tell us that, you know, there's nothing good that comes out of the neighborhood. You're a product of your environment. Or what about you're going to end up just like your dad? The world will tell us all those things, but we have to be like Moses and come to a decision or a level of maturity where we tell ourselves and we tell the world and we tell the devil, I am not going to be that person anymore. I am no longer a dope fiend. I am no longer a gang member. I am no longer a prisoner. I am no longer the person that I used to be because God has changed and transformed my life. You see, the Bible says that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and he made a decision. The Bible says that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the children of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. A conscious decision to suffer. You know, we don't like suffering even if it's by accident. We like things nice and smooth. We like things nice and easy. But we miss the reason why he did it. The Bible says that he chose to suffer affliction with the children of God. Not by himself, not as some martyr, not as someone who would say, woe is me, look at me, oh, I have to go through all these things, always depressed, always in a pity party. The Bible says that he chose to suffer with the children of God. Rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, he chose to suffer to stand hand in hand, to lock arms with the rest of the people that were suffering and look at them and tell them, one of these days, God is going to get us out of this bondage. One of these days, God is going to get us up out of here. He's going to take us to a land that flows with milk and honey. I'm suffering with you now, but there's coming a day when God is going to come through and all the things that He said are going to come to pass in our lives. You know, sometimes there's a saying that says sometimes you got to take one step back so that you can take two steps forward. And it's never more evident than when you're with the people of God. Because our suffering should be each other's suffering. Our hurt should be each other's hurt. That's why we pray for people at the beginning of every service. Because we're all in this together. Because we're all trying to make it. Because we're all trying to get to the place that God has reserved for every one of us. We're all trying to get to that place where God's plan and purpose is fulfilled in our lives. And the Bible says that Moses refused anything that he had because he chose to suffer. To lay down his life for the sake of his fellow man and say, we're in this together, let's move forward. You know, later on in that portion of scripture, the Bible says that Moses endured because, again, I'm paraphrasing, because he saw him who is invisible. That's a heavy statement. The reason Moses was able to leave Egypt, to leave the riches, to live the comfortable lifestyle that he was living, the reason why he was willing to go to the backside of the desert for 40 years, the reason why he was able to return or willing to return to Egypt, not as a prince, but as a slave, because he saw him who is invisible. He saw the Lord and God's promises. And there was evidence in his life on a daily basis that he was trusting God, that he was believing God, that he was seeing the promises of God that were soon to be fulfilled in his life. You know, sometimes I think that we go through trials and we go through hard times and struggles in our walk with the Lord because we lose sight of him who is invisible. We lose sight of what God has already done in our life. We lose sight of how far God has already brought us. When there was a time in our lives when they never thought that we would be free from drugs. There was a time in our lives where they didn't think we would ever get out of jail or prison. There was a time in our lives where people didn't believe that our life could ever amount to anything. That our lives were filled with nothing but death and destruction. But God has done a work in our lives. God has broken the shackles of drug addiction and alcoholism and violence and the things that we were involved in. So what makes us think that He can't carry us the rest of the way? What makes us think that He can't be there for us in the trial or the thing that we're going through today when He's already done so much? It might not happen as soon as we want it to happen. The children of Israel, when they were in bondage in Egypt, they didn't leave from one day to the next. It took a process in their lives. Pharaoh wasn't as eager to let them go as they were eager to leave. But Moses probably on the daily encouraged them, saying, you know what? The God that is invisible that I can see with my heart, the God that is invisible that I can see with my mind, one day that God is going to come through for us and He's going to pull us out of this bondage and take us to a better place. Encouraging them and letting them know that maybe it's not today, but maybe tomorrow or next week, but it's coming. That blessing is coming. That new life is coming. That blessed life is coming. That restored family is coming. That lost loved one is coming. All the things that we pray and we hope for and we're believing God to do in our lives, it's going to happen. We just got to continue to trust God. We got to continue to see Him who is invisible And there needs to continue to be evidence in our lives today. What evidence are we gathering in our lives to prepare us for what God has for us? Those of you that are single, that are believing God for a wife or restoration or family, what are you doing today to prepare you for that in the future? Don't worry about getting the best wife. Worry about being the best you. Don't worry about getting the best husband. Worry about being the best wife in preparing for what God has for you in the future. We pray that God would bless us with jobs and with opportunities. But what are we doing now? If you're in the home and you don't want to go out to those work details, you don't want to wake up in the morning, you're disobedient, you're rebellious, you're always talking about your leaders. There's no evidence in your life that you're preparing for what God has in your future. But when you start to show evidence in your life that you're being obedient, that you're rising up and saying, hey, you know what? I'll go do it if nobody else wants to do it. Then you start gathering evidence and God starts opening doors of opportunity for you because there's evidence in your life that you're ready for everything that God has for your life. I'm going to ask you to stand all over this place this evening. If you would, right there where you're standing, I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes for just a little bit. I think that it would behoove us, or it would be advantageous, if not on a daily basis, but on a regular basis, to look back and acknowledge everything that God has done in our life. And I'm not even just talking about from the day that we got saved. I'm talking about even further back than that. You know, because many of us might have had a hard life. Probably went through a lot of bad things in your life. But you know what? God spared you. Many of our friends are dead, spending the rest of their lives in prison, or out there in the streets ripping and running still with no hope or direction in their lives. But because of God's grace and His mercy upon your life, you're here tonight. You didn't die. Maybe you could have and maybe you should have, but you didn't because God's hand was upon your life. And now we've given our life to the Lord and God has started to do a great work in our life. Set us free from the things that had us bound. But there's so much more that God has for us. So much more that He wants to do for us and through us. But is there evidence in our life that we are preparing for the fulfillment of God's plan and purpose for our life? Lord, we worship You this evening, God, because You're holy, God. And there's no one like You, God. There is no other God like You. In Your grace and Your mercy, God, You reached down Your hand and You saved us, God. You plucked us from the fire, God. You took us, God, out of the jaws of death, God. And You have us here this evening because You have a plan and a purpose for everyone here, God. We want there to be evidence in our lives, God, that we're working and preparing, God, for the fulfillment of Your promise in our life. Every man, every woman, every young person that is here, God, this evening is special to You. You handpicked them, chose them. From whatever lifestyle they were living before they came here, God, You chose them. You went out of Your way to reach them. When our lives seemed hopeless with no direction, when it seemed like we were destined to repeating our parents' mistakes, You intervened in our lives, God. And here we are with grateful hearts, thanking You for Your goodness in our lives. Hopeful that there's more to come, Lord. And willing, God, to make those changes necessary in our lives so that there can be evidence of the plan and the purpose that you have for our lives being fulfilled, God. I'm going to ask you this evening, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you're here in this place tonight, there's a few things that were spoken here this evening, but a couple of things I'm hoping stood out this evening. First and foremost, how special you are to God. How diligently He went after you and didn't let go until you found your way back here. I want you to think about that for a moment. And also think about how special you are here tonight, that God would place a call upon your life and have a plan for your life to bring Him honor and to bring Him glory, so that your life would be a testimony, a demonstration of His grace and of His love. And also tonight, one thing that I want you to consider as we get ready to open this altar. Is there evidence in your life? Are you planning? Are you making the necessary adjustments in your life to prepare you for that life that you're praying for, believing that God has for you? Have you, like Moses, refused the names that Egypt has placed on you? Have you declared to God, to yourself, and to everybody that you are a new creation? That the old things have passed away and everything has become new? Or maybe you're here this evening and this is your first time here. And you came here because there's something missing in your life. There's an emptiness. There's a longing in your heart for more. There's got to be more to life. I want you to know, if that's you tonight, the more is Jesus. Because only He can fill the emptiness and the longing in our hearts. Maybe you're here this evening and you've known the Lord, but you've walked away. And you've come back because you know that Jesus is your hope. And you know that you're better off with Jesus than without Him. But maybe there's still some areas that you struggle with. Maybe there's not enough evidence in your life that you're preparing for that. And tonight you say, you know what? Tonight is the night that I come before the Lord and I ask Him to set me free from everything that would hold me back. I don't want to fail again. I don't want to go back to the world again. I want to serve the Lord for the rest of my life. But I need a supernatural intervention in my life tonight to be set free from these things that are holding me back. As we get ready to sing this song, if God has ministered to you this evening, don't let this opportunity pass you by. I'm going to open these altars. I'm going to ask you to come and just lift your voice and lift your heart to the Lord.